Hi everyone, you're listening to Faith Family Worship Center's podcast number 142 for September 3rd, 2010. In this podcast, Pastor Archie continues his series titled One Month to Live. And in this week's sermon, he talks about loving completely. Enjoy.
To ask the clarifying question every day. What is that clarifying question again? What would I do if I had only 1 month to live? What would you do if you have only 1 month to live? And I believe Brother Roger experienced that, but praise God, he's here today. Amen. Amen. Maybe you can ask him some of the questions. What was in his heart? What was in his mind? But when we are left with only a few days or 1 month to live, what would you do? We would be looking for ways to bridge our relationship. Amen? To strengthen our love for one another. We would be focused on healing and enjoy our most important relationships. And we want to leave a legacy to our loved ones so that they will remember that legacy, that friendship, that love that we have imparted upon them. Amen? So to completely love, we need the power to love. Do we have it? Okay. The power to love. And the principle is, this principle is the area of greatest regrets because it deals with our relationships and is the most important of these four principles. I would like to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 here in our text. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." It just said, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But for us who are being saved, those who are believers, it is the power of God. Christ showed the most powerful demonstration and evidence of love on the cross when he was willing to die for our sins. And we could find forgiveness because of what he did. That was an expression of how God loves us completely. Completely. So we know that it can be a steep climb in our ascent to reach the summit of how to love. So whether it is in business partnership, friendship, or marriage, there are three mountains that we have to tackle in our relationships. And sometimes these mountains can be great obstacles so that it will destroy our relationship. Number one mountain is the mountain of misunderstanding. Have you ever experienced misunderstanding? Can you raise your hands? All of us have experienced misunderstanding, right? And most relationships don't have the power to climb over the first summit of misunderstanding. Because in relationships, those misunderstandings can pile up so high, right? Like Mount Everest. And in the beginning of our relationships, everything seems to be good and positive. And you're climbing towards that mountain, hand in hand, together, is strolling close to each other, then suddenly, wham, there is a boulder coming, a big stone of understanding that seems to throw you off the course and prevents you from climbing farther. So at first, the situation can really be a death zone for unity in relationships, like in marriage. For example, in marriage, it just takes a few months and sometimes even a few weeks, right, to arrive there, that mountain of misunderstanding. And that's when the time to emerge from the honeymoon time, right? And realize that after the honeymoon, you realize that you did not get married to a perfect person. Huh? Right? So at first you think that person that you get married to is so sweet and beautiful and handsome. And you think that you are liked together, you're similar together. But one day you find that your wife did not brush her teeth then. So it doesn't take a long time to hit that mountain of misunderstanding and realize that this person you get married to is not like you. Amen. And that causes problems. In fact, they are different from you. And I do believe that opposites attract. My wife always says that statement, opposites attract, right? Okay? In fact, how many of you married couple married a person that is unlike you? Huh? You see that? All right? Yet opposites attract, but also opposites attack. Another source of conflict is in the area of business. Initially, your partner, you see the same thing. You had the same vision for the business. But suddenly, there's a conflict. And you think that you don't think like the other person. See that? But rather to cling to the ideal in which you will always agree, all right, with one another, that you are your feet with one another, either your spouse, a friend, or business partner, you must realize that differences of opinion and personalities are inevitable, right? And there will be conflict in every relationship. So you might as well realize that. Why? Because we don't think the same thing, right? And we are just human, imperfect beings. So there is always miscommunication and misunderstandings. All right? So it's a big mountain that we have to hurdle in our marriage. Mountain of misunderstanding. Now, another big mountain that we must overcome is the mountain of me first. Mountain of me first. It is just natural to say, I'll meet your need if you meet my need first. That's natural. It is human nature, it's true with me, that I want my needs to be met before I meet the needs of other people. But that creates a huge problem in relationships. And the me first attitude leaves others in the death zone while we ourselves want to climb to the top of the mountain. That's selfishness, right? Well, another big mountain is the mountain of mistakes. We all make mistakes. Can you say amen? Amen. If you don't make mistakes, you're not human being. Or you are dead. 6 feet under. All of us make mistakes. So just as we have misunderstandings and they decide to put ourselves first, we all have faults and we mess up. And because of that, we abandon our relationships. All right? Because of this mountain of mistakes. And every one of us have experienced what people has done to us, right? They have spoken some bad words, hurting words. They have done some things that really hurt us. And it's easy when you are hurt in a relationship to build this mountain of bitterness. Mountain of bitterness around you to protect yourself from being hurt again. But when you build a mountain of bitterness, no relationship can overcome that. We can overcome anger, right? Anger will never kill your relationship. Because the Bible says that it is healthy to get angry sometimes in the right way, all right? If you really care about the relationship, it's okay to express anger if you do it the right way. All right? But when you become bitter, and you hold to this heart and you build a mountain of bitterness to protect you from being hurt again, what happens is it will only hurt you. It will poison your relationship. And no relationships can overcome that mountain of bitterness. So these are the mountains that we have to face, right? And when we're faced with these mountains, what should we do? We should give up? Nope. But we should keep on? Amen? We want to be that person who knows what it takes to get over these obstacles and keep climbing. We don't want to quit, especially if you know that your time is limited on this earth. So to really love people, we have to overcome these mountains and learn to work through our misunderstandings, our mistakes, and our attitude of our self-interest first. We have to grow in our willingness and ability to pour ourselves into those we love. It's not easy. That's why your relationships are not for weaklings, are not for wimps. That's why people never get married, because they don't want to get hurt. But praise God, God has given us the power, the supernatural power, to love completely and to overcome all of these mountains. And the power that God has given us is limitless. Amen. And the price never goes up. And praise God, because the Bible says that God has shed abroad in our hearts the love of God by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that with God's help, with God's power, we can love completely. And we can manage and make this mountains of misunderstanding and mistakes and other mountains and obstacles, can overcome them. Amen. Now, like mountain climbers, we have strategies, the Bible says, how to overcome all these obstacles. I don't know if you have climbed mountains. Have you? The only mountain I know is in Ilocos Norte, just hills. But those mountain climbers have strategies. And in the same way, in our relationship, we must have a strategy, right? We must have those equipments so that we can scale and reach the top. Number one, strategy is the rope of acceptance. Now, in order to persevere and improve our relationship, we must first connect with the rope of acceptance. Nakita yung mga mountain climbers? They use what? Ropes, sturdy, strong ropes to keep them climbing. Rock climbers use a technique with ropes. They call it belaying. And it involves securing a climber to a rope so he doesn't fall too far if he slips off the rock. So naka-connect them to the rope. So whenever he slips down, he will not fall down all the way to the bottom. That's what we call belaying. Similarly, we can climb to new heights in our relationship without being connected with the rope of acceptance. Amen? Amen? And Paul says in Romans chapter 15, verse 7, he says, accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. It says, accept one another, just as Christ accepted you. Look at yourself. We have all these bad qualities, bad attitudes, yet God accepted us. Amen? Some of us are masungit. Some of us are mainit ang ulo. Some of us are unlovable. But God has accepted us anyway. Amen? So, one of our greatest problems in relationship is that instead of accepting the other person, we always want to change the other person. Right? Now to accept others, it means I stop trying to change them and I will try to understand them. It's easy to say that, but it's hard. But in my 40 years of marriage, I have learned a valuable secret. Acceptance means to stop trying to change my spouse and to start cherishing and understanding her. In the beginning, my wife wanted to change me. But I guess she gave up. You have not really accepted a person if you keep on focusing on changing that person. You know that? So what does cherishing people mean? Cherishing people means to value them enough. Whatever their attitudes, whatever their quirks. Amen? And understand them. Seek to understand them. So to really love them and climb the mountain of misunderstanding, I need God's power to understand them. And men and women are very different. And this causes a lot of problems in marriage. You know? Problemas a marriage, right? Men and women have different personalities, different likes, different attitudes. So what happens is that in our marriage, what we should do, we have to love the differences that God has put in our lives. Amen? Yeah. And stop trying to change each other and start cherishing each other. We start to realize that it's our differences that make life so much more exciting. And so much more interesting. And marriage so much fun. So how would like a marriage where the other person is just passive? You know? No fun? And the other person is the same thing. So that marriage will become boring, right? Huh? So that's why opposite personalities are good sometimes, right? So, but I have to be honest with you, folks. I've been married 40 years, but I'm still trying to understand my wife. Sometimes. But being together and knowing that we're stuck together we must try to connect to each other and understand each other. That's what acceptance is. Amen. Now look at this picture of acceptance in Genesis chapter 2 verse 25. Talks about Adam and Eve. It says, the man and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. Right? Does it say that they were naked because and ashamed because their bodies were so beautiful? No. That's not what it means. It means that it was because they felt that the deepest human longing to be accepted was there. In Adam and Eve, they were accepted by God and they accepted one another. They were experiencing what every one of us wants to experience in life, to be totally be accepted. Now, but to be totally be accepted, we have to let our what? Guards down. I know Simon said, I know. We have to be transparent. We must be willing to expose ourselves. Yes. Amen? Yeah. Must be willing to show our weaknesses, our personalities, our desires. Because in wanting acceptance, usually what we do is try to hide our faults. We give this air of, oh, wala akong problema. Sa buhay, di ba? We try to hide our faults because what happens is that when we think that the people sees our faults, right? And discover our weaknesses, we think that they will not like us. We think that they will not accept us. That's why we hide our faults, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing why we want to do is when we want to be accepted is that we try to cover our true feelings, our true personalities, who we really are. Because when they know, we think that when they know that what our feelings are and who we are truly, they may not accept us. See that? But in the case of Adam and Eve, everything was, they were naked, they were not ashamed with one another, because they completely accepted each other. And that's what all of us wants to do, to be totally accepted. Amen? That's why we need to expose ourselves. Don't hide ourselves. Amen? Reveal your weaknesses. Amen? And that's what total acceptance is. You accept the person because even of their weaknesses, even of their personalities, some people what the Rick Warren says, will be EGR. Huh? I know EGR. Extra grace required. These people will always irritate you. They will bug you. They will need you. You cannot get rid of them. It could be you, the EJR. Not the other person. But what do you do? Just have to what? Accept that person, isn't it? So to be honest, it's natural for me not to accept a person, especially what? New ones, right? It takes the power of God to become supernatural. I mean, the supernatural power of God to accept the way they are and don't let the Lord change them and let the Lord change me the way I am so that God can work in us. Amen? Amen. So that's what we need, the rope of acceptance. All right, secondly, when we climb a mountain, we need to, it says we're going to reach the summit in our relationships to love completely. We not only need the rope of acceptance, but the traction of loving actions. Nothing is more important to climbers than the traction on their shoes, on their boots. And you can have all the other equipments, but if you are not sure-footed, all right, you will never be able to ascend to the top of the mountains. And what are these loving actions that will give traction to our marriage? What are these? Right? These are the essential things in our relationships. And those are small loving actions. All the seemingly insignificant things that mean so much to someone else. It's all the little loving things that make huge difference. Not what are these. There are three C's that will make your love in traction. That will make your love strong. Amen? Amen. Number one C is consideration. Are you considerate? With your husband? With your wife? With your family? Philippians 2:4 says, each of you should not look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. That means that you have to look to meet the need of your spouse first before you what? Look to meet your need. Amen. Look to meet the needs of your family before you look to meet your own needs. The problem in most marriages is that there is a conditional love. I love you if. May if. I love you but. Right? I love you if you love me. I love you if you take care of me. I will meet your needs if you meet mine. Preferably, meet my need first. Right? But marriage that works says, I love you, period. Wala nang if, wala nang but. Sa Tagalog, wala nang what? Pero, pero. Right? I love you, period. Stop there. Wala nang condition. And there is nothing that you could do that would make me love you more or less. It's not based upon what you do, all right? And when you have that acceptance and you have freedom in your marriage, amen? That unconditional love. I know it's work, but we cannot do it in our own strength. But praise God, the Holy Spirit gives that love in our hearts. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that love will make an incredible difference in your life. Amen. Amen. Secondly is cooperation. Great teams have what they call chemistry, where the team work together for common good, and any player just knows what the other player is going to do, and that's what called chemistry in a team. I don't know if you love basketball, but when the Bulls were having one championship after another, there was teamwork between Jordan and Pippen and Grant. One time I was watching the basketball and Ewing was trying to dunk the ball. All right, New York, Knicks. And there was Pippen, there was Grant, and there was Jordan around him. He tried it three times. He could not do it. That's teamwork. Amen. And that's what we need in our marriage. Amen. Cooperation means we are willing to do our part, share the burden with the other person because we have a common goal. Not competing, but cooperating, complementing each other. And marriage and family life is teamwork. Teamwork. Amen. So husband and wife, you are in a team. When Jesus knew he had only 1 month to live, watch how he loved completely. John chapter 13, verse 1 said, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. He showed them his love completely by serving them. What did he do? He washed their feet. And something that only a servant would do. And he told them, I have done this to you, now do it towards one another. He was telling them to serve one another. But many married couples, instead of serving one another, and cooperating together, compete with one another. They're always competing. The Bible says that when two people are joined together in marriage, they become what? One. That means that in God's math, one plus one is one. Not two, but one. Amen. That means that if your spouse hurt, you also hurt. All right? It means that if you criticize or belittle your spouse, you are criticizing yourself. You are belittling yourself because now you are one. So when we realize that we are one and is stuck together, super glued. Somebody said marriage is like super glue. You cannot, right? If you realize that you are super glued, you might as well get along. You might as well, what? Cooperate in every way. Amen. Number three, third C is what? Commitment. Commitment. Love is not love without detraction of commitment. You know, love is not an emotion. What keeps your marriage is not love. You know that? Because if you base your marriage on love, many times you may not feel like loving the other person. Right? So marriage is kept by commitment. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That making that lifelong commitment to each other. I've heard the story of the legendary basketball coach, June Wooden. I don't know if you have heard about him. Those older folks like me. John Wooden was a well-known basketball coach, legendary. He died at the age of 99, just 3 months ago, June 4, 2010. But he has left a legacy of love, and I would like to share with you a letter written by one of his closest friends when he was still alive. This letter was written when he was almost 90 years old, and this is how the letter reads. It says here, "There has never been a finer person in American sports than John Wooden, or a finer coach. He won 10 NCAA basketball championships at UCLA. The last in 1975. Nobody has ever come even within six of them. He won 88 straight games. Nobody has come within 42 since. There has never been another coach like John Wooden. He was loyal to one woman, loyal to one school, one way, walking around the campus in sensible shoes, and Jimmy Stewart morals. I don't know what that means. He says to his players, discipline yourself and others won't need to. Never lie, never cheat, never steal, earn the right to be proud and confident. If you played with him, you played by his rules. And his rules were never score without acknowledging your teammate, one word of profanity and you're done for the day, treat opponent with respect. He believed in hopelessly out-of-date stuff, but never did anything but win championships. No long hair, no facial hair. He said, because it would take too long to dry and you will catch cold leaving the gym. He would say to his players, and those players, were upset. And one day, Bill Walton, All-American center Bill Walton, showed up with full beard. And he said to Coach John Wooden, it's my right to have this beard, he insisted. Wooden asked if he believed that strongly. He said, that's good, Bill. Admire people who have strong beliefs and stick by them. I really do. But we're going to miss you. Right then and there, Bill Walton shaved his beard. Now, Walton calls the coach once a week to tell him how much he loves him. Wooden is almost 90 years old now. That was 10 years ago, the letter says. But on the 21st of each month, the best man I know will do what he always does on the 21st of the month. He'll sit down and will pen a letter to his best girl. He will say how much he missed her, love her, can't wait to see her again. Then he will fold it once, slide it into a little envelope, and walk into his bedroom. He'll go to the stack of love letters sitting there on her pillow, untie the yellow ribbon, place the new one on top, and tie the ribbon again. The stack will be 180 letters high. Then, because the 21st will be 15 years to the day since Nelly, his beloved wife of 53 years, died. So every 21st of the month, he would write a letter to his dead wife and put in a stack of paper of letter on the pillow of his wife of 53 years. In her memory, he sleeps only on his bed, on half of the bed, only on his pillow, only on top of the sheets, never between, with just the old bedspread that shared to them to keep him warm. You see, that kind of commitment is the key to lasting love. Amen. Commitment, amen? But that commitment did not come by accident, because John Wooden was a Christian and had a deep faith in God. He was a Christian for many years, and his beliefs were more important than basketball, he said this, I have always tried to make it clear that basketball is not the ultimate. It is of small importance in comparison to the total life we live. There is only one kind of life that truly wins, and that is the one that places faith in the hands of the Savior. His faith strongly influenced his life. He read his Bible every day and attended First Christian Church. He said that he hopes his faith is apparent to others. See, that's how he witnessed. He said this, if I were persecuted for my religion, I truly hope there would be enough evidence to convict me, he said. Amen. So this is the life of John Wooden. And he built a lasting relationship, not only with his wife, but among his players. That's why they love him. Because he loved them. And it's really the small things that he did. And if we want to build strong marriages and relationships, we must be willing to do the small things. Amen? That will keep our love in traction, in good traction. We cannot do it in our strength. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we need that power in our lives. That's why Philippians chapter 2, 13, Paul says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Underline the word desire and power there. God wants to give you the supernatural desire to meet other needs ahead of your own. And God, only God can do that. And God wants to give you the power to meet other people's need ahead of your own. And only God can do that. He gives you desire and the power to meet the needs of others. And you cannot build great marriages and relationships without God's power in your life. Amen? You cannot build great businesses and love people without the power of God in your life. That's why the Bible says, except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that builds it. Amen? So we need God to help us build our relationships. And when you feel and know that the love of God is with you, you're secure in your relationships. Amen? And you'll be able to overcome whatever difficulties, the mountains of misunderstanding, the mountains of mistake, and the mountains of selfishness. Number three that we need in our marriages is we must be tethered or connected, right, by forgiveness. Every climber also knows the importance of being tethered or connected to the rock in order to keep them from falling. It's a fail-safe attachment joint for protection, point for protection. In our relationship, that tether or that connection is forgiveness. The best relationships are built on forgiveness because all relationships involve imperfect people who make mistakes. Six powerful words keep you connected as you scale the mountain of mistakes. And what are these words? I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. We get the power to forgive people in our lives who hurt us by looking at the cross. By looking at the cross. Because you will never have to forgive anyone in your life more than what Christ has forgiven you already. Amen. He paid the debt he did not owe. We owe the debt we could not pay. That's what the song says. He has forgiven us so much that we should be willing to forgive anybody. Amen. So when you realize that God has forgiven us, then we can also forgive others. Amen.
And that was Pastor Archie in his sermon titled Love Completely. If you'd like to join us for our Sunday service, our address is 6535 West Berry Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our telephone number is 773-888-3392. And our email is contactus@ffwcchicago. And you can reach us online at ffwcchicago.com. Until next time, take care and God bless. Bye.